We turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, and just by way of introduction, in our services in Barnstable in North Devon, we have been thinking about what God is to his people, what God is to his people. And we have begun a series of things that God is to his people by way of the alphabet. We began with the Almighty God, El Shaddai, and all the greatness of him who is our God. We saw him, secondly, as the blessed God, the one who cheers us, the one who blesses us day by day with so many blessings. We thought then of the compassionate God, and particularly in the ministry of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was moved with compassion so often when he came upon various situations. He is moved in compassion when he saw the crowds who were hungry, moved with compassion when he saw the man legion possessed. The compassionate God, we found him, fourthly, to be the delivering God who rescues us. Of great deliverance, we can boast of him because he delivers the soul from hell when he comes in converting power by his Holy Spirit and delivers us. And then we saw him, fifthly, as the eternal God with a letter E. What a blessing it is to think of him who is the everlasting God, who has loved us from the foundation of the world, and yet he is further eternal back before the foundation of this world. He is the eternal God who has no beginning and has no ending and brings that eternity into our lives as believing people. And so we got to the letter F, and we find him to be the faithful God who keeps us. And that is our subject for this morning from the Word of God. And we think of God being the faithful God. We thought about Hebrews 11 and verse 11, speaking of Sarah, who received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who has promised. God is the faithful God who preserves us and keeps us and helps us. And this is such a good springboard for our subject this morning. Sarah judged God to be faithful, who had made a promise to her and to her husband Abraham. An amazing story. Now, Abraham and Sarah moved from Ur of the Chaldees and went to a place that God had spoken to Sarah and particularly to Abraham, and he passed it on to her about the way that God wanted them to move into Canaan and to possess the land, and that he would give them a great family, more than the stars of heaven, more than the sand of the seashore, and that he would bless them there and that they should go. And it took them years to go. And yet, Sarah, even though she had great disappointment in that she was barren for the early parts of her life, and then she got beyond childbearing, and then God renewed strength and gave her the child Isaac. What a wonder that was. The one eternal God, the delivering, compassionate God, brought them to that experience so that she counted him faithful. They discovered, this couple, the God who promised was faithful to keep his promises, speaking to them, telling them that God had a plan for them. Now, he is the same today, my friends, the promise-keeping God. He has done more to reveal himself in secret to us, as he did to Abraham. He's given us his word, revealed himself here in the scriptures that we have before us. What a blessing that is to us. And he's revealed himself personally to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, of whom we read in the scriptures and whom we experience when we come to faith in him, repenting of our sins, trusting in him, turning to him, seeking his forgiveness and pardon, and we receive that experience of knowing him and him knowing us, and he is faithful to keep his promise in that. We can see how God is faithful. And we can identify several scriptures that remind us of this group, this truth, so that we can apply them to ourselves in our Christian lives. So we started with Sarah's belief in this faithful God, as recorded in the book of Genesis first, and then repeated here in Hebrews. But our interest is in the faithfulness of God this morning and what we find in the New Testament. So many issues of faithfulness of God in the Old Testament, but we'll dwell on a few texts from the New Testament. And first of all, we find that God is faithful who has called us to himself. God is faithful who has called us to himself. And the text for that is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, which says simply this: God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful, by whom ye were called in unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We usually think of the word faithfulness when we think about keeping our promises that we make to other people. How can we call God faithful in the matter of our calling into the fellowship of his Son? Well, it's like this. In the covenant of grace, in which God determined to save a vast number of people, human beings, from hell in order to populate heaven. And it was in the intention of the living God that he would be able to have fellowship with his creatures, with his human creatures, those made in his image. And so he determined in this covenant of grace and promised that they would come to him. But to do that, the people that he would save would first of all have to be made worthy of fellowship with him. In what way is that true? Because he is the mighty, perfect, holy, and righteous God. And we as human beings, from Adam and Eve, right from the beginning, are unholy, unrighteous. How can we possibly have fellowship with the righteous, holy God, the only wise God? We are the foolish and unholy creatures that have turned away from him, inheriting our sinfulness from our first father, Adam. How could the Lord achieve such fellowship with a created human body of people? Well, one thing is certain. We could not have fellowship with Almighty God in our natural sinful state. A change had to come about. But what could we do about it, we human beings? If we wanted to have fellowship with God, and actually in our natural state, that's the last thing we want, to have fellowship with God. We fear God. If we're concerned about a relationship, it's not a natural thing to do, to want to have fellowship with God. Well, even if we did, we could not, no matter how much we wished or desired for it. No, the Lord God had to approach us. He had to call us, as our text says, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was the only way. And so determined was the sovereign Lord God that he came to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our God contracted to a span, coming down to have from heaven to earth. God himself coming. The Lord Jesus came to identify with us by veiling his awesome deity with the same flesh that you and I have, with his humanity. And that meant that God could keep his promise to have a people to spend eternity in heaven with him by fellowship, by communion with his people. But they had to be made ready. They couldn't do it themselves. They had to be redeemed. There could be no half measures, no a little bit of holiness or a little bit of dedication or devotion. No, there had to be a huge change in the human being. So Christians had to be made holy so that they would fit in to the holiness of heaven, to the perfection of the place where God is, where he dwells, where he reigns. And in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, coming himself, God has been and is faithful to keep his promise. God is faithful by whom ye were called. And so his promise was to call a people out of the whole body of human race to come to himself, to call a people, a special redeemed people. Now here are some of his promises that God intended to faithfully keep. Hosea 14, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. And then in New Testament, we find the words of Christ, he that loveth me, in John 14, 21, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yes, God takes the initiative, my friends. And this is the first act of the faithful God, which teaches us a deep lesson. God is faithful by whom ye were called. And he who has brought us, who are believing Christians this morning, and if you're a believing Christian, you can say this of yourself. He's brought you to a dear and a near relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that relationship is so intimate and sweet that it is so different to any other relationship we could ever have. And in that, he is faithful in giving that to us. And so he can be trusted with our deepest concerns then, if we have this intimate relationship with him, because he knows everything about us. He is aware. He knows our every weakness, knows our strengths. He knows our desires. He knows our ambitions. He knows because we have that relationship with him. And so those that come at his call, according to this text of his faithfulness, shall never be disappointed in their hopes in him. If we approve ourselves faithful to God, then, as a Christian, we shall never find him ever unfaithful to us. He will not suffer his faithfulness to fail. What a blessing that is. Psalm 89 says that. We sang a portion of it earlier. But in verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is faithful then, first of all, in his desire to save his people, and his work in saving them too, through the work of his blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, God is faithful. So God is faithful who has called us to himself. But secondly, God is faithful with regard to our trials. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 is a text that I learned as a new Christian many years ago. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried beyond that ye are able, but will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, to bear it. And so in this, our version calls it temptations, but it can also be rendered trials, because that's what it's about. Not only is it temptation to sin, but it's also the trials that we go through in our lives. And there may be many trials that we as Christians have to face, have had in the past to face, and yes, may be facing in the future. And those trials can tempt us to question God and his faithfulness. And it could be that in our hearts, we can say about God, he doesn't love me. He wouldn't be putting me through this trial if he truly loved me, if he had really saved me, if he had really meant my blessing in this life. Things would not come upon me like this if he really loved me. Oh, therefore you might even say he's punishing me. And you'd be saying, no one else suffers like I do, and such like. Well, my friends, I wonder if we can ask ourselves and challenge ourselves this morning. Are we sour in our hearts because, as Christians, that we do not think that we have the things that we think God should give us? We should be radiant, really, hungering. Hungering for God's word, which feeds our souls and hearts. And really, we need to humble ourselves rather than wrestling with God and against his will. We need to refuse to complain and grumble because of the blessings that we have, first of all, of our salvation, that he has saved us out of the world. We are of his people. We are of his flock, as we sang in Psalm 100. His special people, the sheep of his pasture. And therefore, we need to remember the complaining and grumbling like that against the Lord God flies in the face of what he has promised. If these issues have affected any of us in our Christian lives, then actually we can take heart with this text here, that God is faithful with regard to our trials. It may be, even in our Christian lives. I don't know your Christian lives. You know them and God knows them. And it may be that perhaps you've thrown away Christian blessings and you think to yourself, there's no hope for me. You may have started well out well as a Christian, but now there's no hope. But there is an answer, a wonderful answer. The downward process can be arrested. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, right in the middle of the text. Or perhaps the authority that you once knew, the power that you once had as a Christian, and perhaps the early life of your professed faith of Christ, it can be restored. How can that be? Because of this secret deliverance that's here in this particular text in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The one who loves you, the one who gave himself for you. It's here in this text, right in the middle. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation itself, with the trial itself, also make a way of escape for you, that you may be able to bear it, because God is faithful. Here is the encouragement in this text. But notice first that God does not promise to say that he'll remove the trials. He may do that, but he hasn't promised to do that. Nor that he will permit you not to fail. Sometimes we do fail him. What he does say is this, that it doesn't need to happen because he has given us this text. Any believer who falls into temptation to sin, when they reflect upon it, they know that it need not have happened because we have a loving God who has given us his word and shows us how to live. Just a moment out of God's will, and the believer has slipped. It could have been stopped, if only. If only what? Well, if only we'd realize that God is faithful. He is faithful. And if, my friend, you feel like giving up, well, God is still faithful. If you feel that the end of the road has come for your Christian life because you've got it all wrong, and perhaps you've failed him so much, but he is faithful, even though you've been unfaithful to him. Think about the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. They came out under the cloud. They came up through the Red Sea. They were all protected and sustained. Remarkable miracles of bringing them out. Well, God was faithful to them. And even though we find them in the desert murmuring against him, we want to be back. We want to be back where there was good food. We want to be back where there was plenty of water. God was faithful to them. They became unfaithful. But God knows what our character and constitution can endure. He knows what temptations we can go through and trials that we can cope with. And he will never take us beyond what he knows we're capable of. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what is possible for you to manage. We need to hold on to that, because in this verse, if it wasn't there, that phrase, I think we'd find it difficult. But he is faithful. But God is faithful. And we could ask the question, why did God suffer the manners and the behavior of the people of Israel in the wilderness when they complained, when they rebelled? Well, the answer was that he might prove them, that he might humble them, that he might show them the deep sin that lay in their hearts. They weren't transformed when they went through the sea, the Red Sea, and when they came into the wilderness. They were being moved to see how God would help them. But they might see their helplessness and so learn to depend on him utterly. That's what he's doing with you and me, my friend. When we go through the trials, we would never ask to go through. We'd never plan to have. And yet when he permits them to happen, they are to prove us as believers, to prove us. Allows these things to show us how absolutely corrupt and sinful we are deep down in our old nature, in ourselves. And we must then remember that he is faithful. We must know that in our flesh is no good thing, but he longs to draw us to himself. He will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. And every time, my dear believing friend, Satan has tried to tempt you, take you away from the right course, there's always been a way out, if you had chosen it, because God is faithful to provide that. And we need to learn to choose this way out that God provides for us. Here it is in the text. In it all, God is faithful. You need to hang on to that, my friend. He is faithful with regard to our trials. But then God is faithful in another aspect of the Christian life. He is faithful to make us like him. To make us like him. We turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 for this, in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Now, Paul wrote to this church at Thessalonica and says that he prayed that the God of peace would sanctify those dear believers wholly. And God was faithful to do it. What does it mean to be sanctified? It means to be preserved blameless. It means to become like our Savior. In heaven, we will be perfect. Praise God for that. Not down here, but there. We'll be perfect in soul, but also with the new bodies he will give us, perfect in body then. It'll never happen here, but in heaven it will. Here we're being made perfect in soul. That's sanctification. The whole human being might be sanctified, made holy by the operation of God's Holy Spirit, praying the God of peace to sanctify you wholly. And the kindness and love of God has appeared to those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his purpose to preserve us. That is to cause us to persevere to the end, to keep going. He is sovereign. He will do his own perfect will. But more than this, he has promised to do it because he is faithful to keep his promise. I'm sure we love that text in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God is faithful because he can be faithful. And we often focus on the phrase in that text, what I have committed unto him, and that seems to be perhaps important to us. But the most important thought in this whole text is, he is able. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we can say he is faithful to keep our never dying souls right through to eternity. What is it then that we have committed to God? It is the salvation of our souls and the preservation of these souls for heaven. This is the sanctifying work of the Lord God. And he can be depended upon to complete it, to perfect it, in preparation for that day when we appear before him. God is faithful to make us like him, and particularly like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will not achieve perfection here, but it is ready for heaven. We will be made ready. I wonder if we're trusting our Savior to do that work within us, with his good purposes, because of his faithfulness. He is able and he is ready to do that. And then fourthly, God is faithful to forgive us, to forgive us. Many believers have an awful fear of not being forgiven. They worry, they fret, and trouble themselves that they have committed such grievous sins against God that he will never accept them into heaven. You may have met friends like that. May of them be part of their doubts, of their lack of assurance. They say to themselves, I'm such a sinner. I cannot say that I have no sin because I know I have. I know the truth about myself. And knowing the truth about myself, then God can never forgive me, not me. But my friends, we have another blessed text in Scripture. 1 John 1:9. You know that text, I'm sure, if you're a mature believer. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, not might be, not could be, but is faithful to forgive us our sins. He is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know that true repentance, confession of sin, is indeed our business here before God. It is the means of our deliverance from guilt, my friends. But the Bible encourages not to hide our sins, but rather to confess them freely, not keep them within, not play around with them in our hearts, and keep those sins hidden away. Nobody else can see them, but God can. We have to confess them before him. But this displays the truth and the righteousness and the kindness of God. We make our confession to him. We speak to him in the privacy of our own place. And we do that because we should. And how does he reply to us? We have it in this text. If we confess our sins, no, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Well, he's not indulgent. He doesn't overlook sin. He doesn't find himself permissive as far as sin is concerned. He is ready to forgive sin. He's faithful to his covenant and to his word. It says in Hebrews 8, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I'll count against them? No, I will remember them no more. When you remember something no more, it's not a case of forgetting. It is putting their memory completely away. God has undertaken to do that as far as our sins are concerned. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And that's Paul's reference to Isaiah's prophecy in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 43, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. God is faithful to do that. Faithful. That's how truly to forgive. And God has given us the example. When I think about it, do we forgive like this? If God is faithful to forgive, so should we be. And then fifthly, God is faithful to keep his promises. Again in Hebrews, in chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then comes the phrase at the end of that verse, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Now we have a duty as Christian believers to hold on to the profession of our faith, persevere. Yes, God perseveres with us, but we have a responsibility too. And we should embrace all the truths and the ways of the gospel and hold on to them in order to resist and stand firm against temptation and opposition. Now, we have spiritual enemies who will do anything that they can to tear out of our hands our assurance and our faith and our hope, holiness and comfort. So how can we do this? How can we resist? We do it, according to this text, without wavering, without doubting, without disputing, without arguing, without delaying, and without the temptation to fall into apostasy, unbelief, that is. And having settled these things between our souls and the Lord God himself, we must be steadfast and immovable. But how and why? Well, there's a motive to help us. This phrase says in this text, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And then in those brackets, for he is faithful that promised. Faithful that promised. Yes, our God, our great God, has made great and precious promises in his word to us as believers. And he is a faithful God, and he is true to his word. I wonder what we would say was the most famous and precious promise in the Bible. There are so many of them, but what is the one that perhaps comes to your mind? We'd all have our favorites, I know, and perhaps we could think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples as he was about to leave them to go to heaven. He came and spake to them, saying, Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And then he adds an amen there. See, the one who promised has the power to promise. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What was and is the promise? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And how easy we read these words. We memorize them, but do we believe them? Does he have all power? Our Savior does. He went to Calvary. He had the power to take away our sins by going there and bearing them himself. Will this power continue to the end of the world? Yes, he says so. Is he with us always? Yes, he is. He will not fail. He is faithful. But are we full of faith? Or do we only have a little faith? God promises something and it always comes to pass. He is faithful that promises. One of the poets says, expecting from him to receive all fullness of glory and grace, rejoicing in hope, we believe his promises, thankful embrace. Our King shall protect us from harms, our advocate make our peace good, our shepherd will bear in his arms the sheep which he bought with his blood. We have a faithful shepherd in the Lord Jesus Christ. And before we close, one more text about God who is faithful. And it's this text in 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. Our great God is faithful to his threatenings, but also faithful to his promises. And neither of these truths will ever fail. And if we're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will certainly be faithful to us. If we are false towards him, if we do not believe in him, if we do not fear the living God as we should, He will be faithful also to his threatenings. And if you're not a Christian this morning, and you need to know that God has threatened very clearly in his word that those who do not believe in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has sent and who he has provided, will end up in eternal hell, not eternal heaven. His threatenings are real, and they will never fail. He cannot deny himself. He cannot retract any word that he has ever spoken. He is yea and amen, yes and forever shall be, faithful to his promises. And to abide faithful, which this text says, he abideth faithful, is a living, to live in a state of keeping your promises. And God lives in such a state. He has promised to punish the wicked, and he will. He has promised never to flood the world again and send a rainbow to remind us that he'll never do that again, ever. He has promised to save his people from their sins. What a lovely promise that is. He has promised eternal life to all who sincerely repent and turn from their sin. And he has promised also to love us with an everlasting love. These promises are worth reminding ourselves of, and then reminding ourselves that he is faithful to keep those promises. What a God we have. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. Indeed, our God abideth faithful. He remains faithful. He never gives up. Can any of us make such a claim? Do we abide faithful? Do we live in a state of perfect faithfulness? And I wonder if we're willing to be as faithful as God is faithful, keeping our promises, never breaking a promise. I wonder if we've ever denied the Lord. Have we ever disowned him when our faith becomes challenged and somebody points the finger at us? You're a Christian, aren't you? Have we let him down? Or have we done worse than that, lived a lie and ventured down the road of unfaithfulness to God? He abideth faithful. Keep this in mind, especially my dear believing friends this morning. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we can see. All we have needed, his hand has provided. Great, exceedingly great is our faithful God. So let us continue to worship and honor him in our Christian lives with our faithfulness to him in return. God is faithful who has called us. He is faithful who, in regard to our trials, he is faithful to make us like him. He is faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to keep his promises, and he is faithful and abideth faithful. May we be encouraged to trust and love this one, this eternal one, who is the faithful God. Amen.